This is episode 304 of Jumble Think.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Jumble Think, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning their dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. Our guest on today's show is Nate Herrick. More about Nate in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed to Jumble Think, you should really go do it right now. Head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts, search for Jumble Think, and click subscribe. Now let's join today's conversation. Hey there, welcome to Jumble Think. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host, and we have a great show lined up for you today. As many of you know, we've been doing a themed week this week. This is episode 4 of that theme week. It's episode 5 of this series about real estate. Super excited about today's guest. All of these episodes were recorded live at PodMax, which is this killer cool event for podcasters, for entrepreneurs, for people who want to share their stories with podcasters. It's hosted in Trenton, New Jersey. It's awesome to be partnered with them. And so these conversations have been recorded all from that event. If you want to learn more about it or be a part of the next one, which is coming up in a couple weeks, head on over to podmax.co. That's podmax.co. I'm going to be there. Maybe we'll see each other and meet face to face there. Okay, today's conversation is with Nate Herrick. Now, you might be wondering, who is Nate? Nate's journey into entrepreneurship and into real estate was, like many entrepreneurs, accidental. It wasn't the planned path. Nate had attended the University of Connecticut, where he enlisted in the U.S. National Guard, because it was really the only realistic way to afford college. After graduating from UConn in 2001, he accepted a sales position with the Fortune 20 Consumer Goods Corporation. But as many of us know, September 11th happened, the terrorists attacked, and he was called to active duty and proudly served in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. Since then, he returned to his corporate job, but found he was not incredibly excited about it. So he decided to open some real estate property and then invested into the ATM industry, where he has his own ATM route of those ATM units and businesses. His journey has continued since then, and we're going to get into that and all he's building in the world of business, what he's doing with multifamily apartment syndication, how he's continuing the ATM business, and what he's doing with various private placements. It's a super fun conversation. So let's go ahead and join our conversation with Nate Herrick. Nate, thanks so much for being on.
Glad to be here.
Now, I am just getting to know you. I've read through your bio, all the information. We've talked for the last 4 minutes or so. I want to know a little bit about who you are and your story. I know that you've worked in the corporate world. You've been active duty military, working in Operation Iraqi Freedom. You've been in the U.S. Army National Guard. You've done a lot of different things. Talk to us a little bit about your story and how you got into the world of business, how you found kind of your career, how you found what you're doing today.
Yeah, great. I'd love to jump right into it. I would say kind of how I got into everything was out of necessity. You know, growing up, I didn't really, you know, we had everything we needed, but there was always, you know, it was always a struggle, right? Yeah. Similar to a lot of people I'm sure you've spoke with. But, you know, it all started out there. I always, you know, I started out, I had a paper route growing up and, you know, always had that entrepreneurial spirit. But it was kind of, held back by the corporate world.
Okay. Well, what part of the corporate world do you work in?
I was actually in consumer products.
Okay.
So I was in sales.
Okay.
I was in field sales.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to jump back, but out of necessity, I joined the military to put myself through school.
Okay.
And that was a great experience.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, some of my closest friends are still from the military.
Mm.
And we'll get into this a little later. Some of my business ventures I was introduced to by members of the military that I, again, still stay in touch with. So I think that's sort of how I got my start in business. The eye-opening experience was when I was actually working at my corporate job, and I was introduced to an individual who ran a very successful ATM business. Mm. ATMs that you'd see in any grocery store, like liquor store or gas station, right? So we met one day, and he was like, "Hey, you know, I'd like to take you out to lunch because you kind of know every merchant in this area, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I do." And he's like, "Let's grab lunch." And long story short, 10 years later, I don't want to say it's an empire, but it's a successful ATM business that provides an additional revenue stream, and it's worked out great. And the key is, that moment is when I started thinking more entrepreneurial and not as an employee. Mm. So that was sort of the beginning.
So are you still working in the corporate world?
No, I'm not. I left about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And after I did leave, I ended up moving to Los Angeles. And while I was in Los Angeles, I embarked on another venture with a friend that I did meet through the military. One of my big interests is skiing, and travel. So and to this day, I still maintain this side business as well. We started a vacation rental program, sort of using the Airbnb VRBO model, representing owners of luxury real estate properties and resort destinations throughout the country, and that sort of continued on with that journey.
You are now in Doylestown, Pennsylvania?
Yes, back on the East Coast.
Okay.
Yep.
I drove right by it today on the way over here. Of course, that podcast, Podmax, and drove into Trenton and had done the prep and had seen Doylestown on there. I was like, I'm driving right by that on the way in.
Yeah, it's a great little town just north of Philadelphia.
Yep.
And great. I have two beautiful kids and a great place to raise kids, raise a family. So
nice. I know that for you, there was a season where you were forced into transition. You were doing the side hustle, the corporate business job didn't really like that. Talk to us about that transition.
Yeah, you know, I know we were getting into that a little earlier, but really what it was, I just didn't feel like I fit in.
Mm.
You know, I felt like I was, there was limited growth, and I almost felt like I was held back, you know, and not living life on your own terms.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's sort of the moment where, and sometimes it happens with people earlier in life. Sometimes you hang around in the corporate world for 10, 15 years and your eyes open up later on. But, you know, a lot of times it is all about timing, right? So I would say it's just I didn't see a long-term vision or a real opportunity.
So talk to us about what your empire, if you will, because it's not just the ATMs, you do that, but you have other things that you do. So talk to us a little bit about how you stack your income sources and how you're building different layers of business.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a firm believer, and I actually had a great conversation with a colleague last night about this, is that I feel, and this is my opinion, I feel that you should have a primary income stream,
right,
which supports your investing or your other ventures or whatever you want to call it, right? So right now, I've transitioned over the past 4 or 5 years. I'm running a recruiting business.
Okay.
So
recruiting
architects, engineers, and construction professionals. So it kind of falls into real estate a little bit.
Yeah.
That is my primary stream. And off of that, and off of my other streams, such as the ATM business, I'm able to invest in real estate syndications.
What's that mean?
Oh, so a real estate syndication is when a group of investors essentially pool their money and invest in a property. Most of the time, they're out of state.
Okay.
So it's a large group, and the properties are usually anywhere between 200 to 500 unit apartment complexes.
Right. So it's markets. Kind of more of that commercial property investment strategy. So I would assume that these would have to be accredited investors and...
Yes. Yes. Most of them are for accredited, but there are situations where non-accredited investors can get involved in these types of
investments. Yeah, there's some changes on the laws around certain caps and stuff. What, about two or three?
Correct.
What, 2017, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and there's other ways. Sophisticated investor is another way they call it. They'll describe it sometimes. I mean, there's no real accreditation, if you want to use that term.
Right.
But, I mean, most people that do get involved in this type of investing are fairly sophisticated. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, really what it is at the ground level, there's a general partnership. There's a group of operators, for lack of a better term, right? And they go in and they identify an opportunity. They identify a property, right? Markets we focus on, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, the Carolinas, is where these opportunities typically lie, because there's a lot of room for improvement and to build up the properties and to, you know, force appreciation and to get those values up, because the goal of this investment is to acquire it, improve it, and over time and eventually liquidate.
So it's not a buy and hold. It is a you know, I come from more of the startup world, so mm-hmm. I think of it as you know, your exit strategy, and that you're building a business to sell it.
Yes, and it's the same idea.
Okay.
The exit strategy is anywhere. I mean, I've seen it as fast as a year and a half up wow. until about 7 years.
Okay.
So there is a wide range, and it's usually market specific.
Okay.
So I mean, the beauty of it is, it's an opportunity to invest in a large property. With a group of investors to purchase an asset that is, you know, valued in the millions, whereas if I was to go off and do that on my own, it would take a significant amount more capital, obviously. Yeah.
It sounds kind of like, I remember, what was it, Magic Johnson tried to get a cohort of people together to buy out the Lakers.
Yeah.
Or
and he is part of a group, I believe, to this day that he bought the Dodgers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
it's a team sport. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, investing in general and business, really. I mean, you need a solid team. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I just don't have the time to vet all these deals. It's great to have a team doing it for you and being on the investment side.
Yeah.
And really...
Which means you have to trust that team.
Absolutely. There is vetting involved. I like to... I recommend some heavy, you know, networking and research online to sort of do your due diligence on the operators to work with in any of these type of ventures. Over time, it's seemed to work out because I work with people I trust.
Right. So we've talked about your kind of stack of businesses, including ATM, the staffing and recruiting, and then also the investment group. Is there anything else that you are working on or a part of your income strategy?
Yes, absolutely. About a year and a half now, I've jumped in, and I was introduced to this business through my military connections.
Okay.
Is the merchant cash advance business. Merchant cash advance lending. Technically, it's not lending. It's an advance. So basically what it's doing is it's essentially advancing money to small business owners in return for a piece of their receivables.
Yeah.
Some people know it as factoring. It's considered sometimes kind of controversial because these are high fee based loans, but there's a place for it. To give you a great example, let's say the owner of a bar or a restaurant, the HVAC unit on his roof goes and if anyone knows anything about lending to businesses, banks don't like to lend to small businesses. They just don't.
Nope, they don't.
So what situations like that would occur, if a situation like that would occur, a merchant might go to a cash advance lender. And similar to the real estate syndications, this in particular advance that we have to that we would be offering to a potential merchant is syndicated. So let's use a quick example. That restaurant needs $10,000 to repair that HVAC unit.
Yeah.
That $10,000 offer would go out to the investment group. It goes out in the form of an email, and it's first come, first served. Hey, who's in on this deal? Please respond with your commitment within 2 hours.
Mm.
And the deal gets full from investors, and then in turn, we receive our payback with the fee over the course of usually 3 to 6 months, paid back daily.
Okay.
So it is a very high velocity return on your investment because it's paid back daily.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is you can take those daily remittances and immediately flip them into the next loan that's offered 2 or 3 days later, possibly. Maybe the next day. There's sometimes 2 or 3 a day. So that is something that I'm recently involved in, and it's make no mistake about it, it's extremely high risk. Mm. But it's not something that you devote your entire portfolio to, just a piece.
Yeah.
So, and so far it's worked out great. Again, these are high risk advances. Typically people with low credit, bad credit, but, there's a place for this market in the marketplace for this type of investment.
Yeah. I am curious. You are building on top of compounding, basically.
Correct.
And so a lot of small business owners, they're a one and done kind of business. The owners a lot of times go, this is my small business. This is what I have. And there's a lot of risk in that. I know personally that risk from running my own small businesses and not diversifying across the business. And there are people that works for and it's good. And there are people that don't. For you, how did you figure out that this was the kind of strategy that worked for you? And what would you say were things that you identify with that others could take away and say, maybe this is a strategy that would work for me too?
Right. Well, I think a lot of it had to do with trial and error.
Mm.
Like anything in life, you know, you never learn anything unless you fail.
Right.
I would consider a couple of the businesses that I've been involved in failures, but I've learned from them.
Yeah.
So, you know, how the decision is made and on how to, you know, why jump into so many different things. I think a lot of it has to do with my personality too. I tend to get bored, but I do believe in this, and we talked about this earlier. Anyone, whether it's a business owner, real estate guy, corporate, it's important to have that primary income stream solid,
right,
as your number one go-to source of revenue,
yeah,
to support your other investments and ventures.
So for you, what is your core?
It is the recruiting.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, our office is, the name of our company is Secure Tech Solutions. We're a small, we're an 8-man shop, but we're extremely focused on architects, engineers, and construction professionals. Mm-hmm. We're based in Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
And as of 2020, we will be expanding our business into New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So that is a major step for me to essentially open up the New York, New Jersey office, mm-hmm, or division of our recruiting, which we hope will be extremely successful, and I can continue to add to my portfolio. But I hope that answers your question, but that's sort of my thinking behind it.
Yeah.
Is, a lot of it is boredom, and I like to try new things. Mm-hmm. And for instance, I've been involved in the ATM business for 10 years. It's something that's provided great income for my family. I pay for my kids' school and daycare with it. I mean, that's what it's there for. But I'm also looking to grow it. And, I just think it's up to the individual. It's not for everyone. Some people, 99% of, I feel, people in this country in business, they don't like to get involved in 20 different things.
Yeah.
I think most people, it's either, I have a job, this is my job, this is my life. Not many people have side hustles, as they call it. At least not too many people I know outside of my investing circle. Most people are kind of one and done, like you say.
And right? I think that is changing with a new generation. You look at millennials, you look at generations after that, and they're much more diversified.
Open-minded, too.
Yeah, and they're offering when it comes to, you know, I'm going to have my thing, but then that's my job. Right. But on the side, I'm going to have a photography business.
Yes.
I'm going to drive Uber. I'm going to start a creative agency, and a lot of people I talk to that are in that space, that age bracket, I really see them being much more open. Not everyone, but a lot more open than previous generations. I know that over the last 20 or 30 years, we've seen a decline in entrepreneurship and small business in America. So it's something that we need to invest in to build again.
Right. And I think a lot of that has to do with, in my recruiting business, I work with a lot of younger millennial candidates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of this is out of necessity. I mean, you sit back and you talk about the student loan debt,
yeah,
you all these the different financial constraints that are on younger people. I mean, I can tell you this from being in the recruiting business, that salaries have not gone up in 10 years.
Wow.
You know, base salaries and general earning potential has been stagnant. We hear so much about how the economy's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for a select few,
mm-hmm.
but not the many.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to your point, you know, a lot of the younger generation is more open to not only having a job, right, but a side business, something else to generate additional income for them so they can, you know, everyone tells me the same thing. They're like, well, I need to pay off these loans. You know, it's like, don't just pay off your loans, but maybe invest in something as well, you know, alongside it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely agree with you on that.
Well, and they came up through a time in which they saw their parents, who a lot of them should have been at the peak of their career, see those jobs disappear because of the recession and lose their jobs or lose their stability or safety.
Right.
In that. So I think that has impacted the outlook for a lot of people in the younger generation. It's almost like for those people that came out of the Great Depression, they have that same kind of mentality, you know, buy quality, buy less, invest in the right things. And I don't want to say hoard, that's not the right word, but really invest in the things that matter to them, I guess is a good way to say that.
Right. And I think, you know, I hope there'll be a change in this, but I think a big opportunity out there right now is financial education. And,
yeah.
And all I've, I don't know about you, but I was taught to save and scrimp and
survive, basically.
And I don't believe in any of that anymore. I believe in massive growth, expansion. Cutting expenses is great. But how about growing revenue? That's what's important. And it's, you know, I think that is what needs to be taught to the younger generation. Not only pay your bills and get out of debt, which is nice, but getting into the right type of debt is actually even nicer.
Yeah. As we pivot towards the end of this segment, we always ask a couple questions. And I think that they're even more significant, especially the first one for you. The first question is, how do you find purpose in what you do? And let me rephrase that specifically for you, because there's a lot that you're building, there's a lot you're investing in, there's a lot that you are diversifying into. Why do you do what you do? What is that purpose behind what you do?
Yeah, that's an easy answer. My purpose is to make sure my children have the life that I never had growing up, and to be exposed to certain opportunities. I would say my other purpose, that would be one. The other purpose I would have is I like to share with others what I've learned in terms of financial education. I feel most of our youth has been underserved. I don't want to say lied to, but in a way they have. No financial education in school. I actually speak with candidates all the time. I'm talking about my recruiting business now, where they ask, they ask me questions, right, about certain things, and a lot of it turns into investing questions. And I like to provide what I've learned to them.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say I'm here to save the world, but I think that if your purpose would be to educate others, educating others on what you've learned, that is more of a grassroots, like, and can grow exponentially. Should those people also teach others as well? And I think that's sort of my purpose, because my eyes were opened, you know, several years ago after being taught all the wrong things.
Yeah.
You know.
What's one challenge you're currently working to overcome?
Technology. That's why I'm here today. I am not the best marketer.
Okay.
And that is the short answer. I need to do more on social. We need to get our company name out there more. Definitely my number one challenge is marketing.
What's the next big dream goal or idea that you have and you're working on?
Well, I just want to keep it. Well, if you want to talk dream, it could be to grow our recruiting business to a major player in the New York City market.
Okay. Very cool. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Nate Herrick. One of the big things we're going to be talking about is balancing full-time employee with side hustles and how you can do it too. We'll be right back. Hey there, Mike here, and I am super excited about some of the partnerships we have for 2020. As you can hear in today's conversation, we were a part of PodMax, where we sat down with some leading entrepreneurs that are in the real estate space, and they shared their stories. PodMax is an incredible event, having entrepreneurs and thought leaders meeting with leading podcasters to share their stories on their podcasts. And we're going back in a couple weeks to be a part of the next PodMax. If you're an entrepreneur or thought leader and you want to share your stories on leading podcasts, you should go check that out and meet up with me at PodMax. You can check them out at podmax.co. One of the other events that I'm super excited to be partnering with, I'll be speaking at, is called Story Expo, and it's coming up March 7th and 8th in New York City. It's the world's biggest conference of writers and storytellers from all mediums, from screenwriters, TV writers, novelists, filmmakers, gamers, journalists, actors, business people, podcasters, comic book writers, and more. Now, if you want to learn the art of storytelling from world-renowned speakers, take some crazy cool workshops, and hear some really good conversations at panels, you need to be at this event, and I'd love to connect up with you at it. Where do you go to learn more about it? Storyexpo.com. You can register there. You can see the list of who's speaking. You can see a list of some of the workshops. And when you register, you are really investing into your future as a storyteller. So head on over to storyexpo.com. I would love to see you there and can't wait to be a part of this event. Now let's rejoin our conversation with Nate Herrick. We are back with Nate Herrick. All right, Nate, before we get going, there are going to be people who want to connect with you. What are the best ways to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach me at epicatm.net. You could, all, in terms of recruiting, too, on that side of the house, it would be Nate at securetechsolutions.com. That's secure, T-E-K, solutions.com. And listen, I always pick up my phone. 617-212-3884.
We'll have all that in the episode notes, so if you missed any of it, just check there. It's easy to find. You know the deal, so you can find that there. Nate, in this next segment, I wanted to talk about being a full-time employee and having a side hustle, because I know that's a big part of your story, a big part of what you've done, and something that you're an advocate for finding financial freedom through it, for finding freedom to build out the things you're passionate about. Talk to us a little bit about balancing, to start out, balancing full-time employee and being in a side hustle.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, first of all, I'd like to say it's not for everybody. It's long days, long nights, juggling, a lot of organization. It really forces you to up your game, right? So the question was, how do I do it? I think first and foremost, like, you always have to focus on your primary stream, your primary job. But you also need a great team in place.
Okay.
So give you an example of what I have going on right now. In addition to my job, I've got a major renovation going on at a property here in Pennsylvania. It's an old farmhouse that's being renovated. I've got a great contractor in there. Mm. We communicate via text message and phone call, and I make visits maybe once a week out there. So, okay, you got a full-time job. Now you have a major renovation going on at a property. We're able to take care of it all simultaneously. And we mentioned earlier about some of the other ventures, right? The real estate syndications. They're fairly passive. So, again, time is of the essence, right? So if you don't have a lot of time, you have to seek out side hustles or investments where other operators are handling the work for you. Mm. Great example with my ATM business. Yes, I own the business, but those ATMs need to be serviced. They need to be loaded with money, right? We can get into the business a little bit later. But I have a team in place that handles all that.
I want to dive a little bit deeper there, because you keep mentioning partners and teams. And I know a lot of people are thinking, when you say that means employee. That's not always the case. Talk to us a little bit about the different parts, different roles that can be a part of your team, and how you can structure that in such a way that you're not taking on some of the liabilities, some of the risks, some of the downfalls of having just a completely captive employee-based team.
Right, absolutely. So what you would Let's start with real estate investing, right? Mm-hmm. We just talked about how I passively invest in some of these deals across the country where it's as simple as analyzing a executive summary, going through the deal at night, right? So you're able to, in your free time, analyze a deal where you're not actually driving out to the property. The operators have vetted the deal already. So you're relying on people that, a team that you've established and done business with in the past that you trust to do the work for you. My ATM business, I met my cash loader 10 years ago. She's technically not an employee of mine. She gets paid through the transactions of the ATM directly. She's not an employee. I think you hit on a very good point. If you have a significant amount of employees, that is going to limit you, in my opinion, in the ability to have side businesses.
Yeah.
So I think, and then getting back to my contractor, I mean, he knows what he has to do. I mean, the hard part on the front end was vetting the contractors. I went through three or four of them before I found a good one.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers your question, but I mean, it's that I think a lot of it has to do with the homework up front. Mm-hmm. And then you enjoy a little bit extra time on the back end once you do all your work up front, similar to probably any business.
Yeah. So you got the recruiting staffing portion, you got the ATM portion, you've got the investment into properties, you have small business advances.
Right.
I know that in some of the stuff I read, you talked about having the freedom to do the things you want. It sounds like there's a lot to do. And so you've got this full-time portion, that's your secure tech stuff that you're working on. You've got side hustles outside of that. And then you have a couple kids.
Yes. I'll be coaching basketball Saturday morning. Oh, yeah.
How do you navigate really making sure you have balance in that and how you're finding places and times to not be on all the time? Because if you push that too long, I've done that personally, you get to a point where you just can't maintain it anymore. Physically, mentally, emotionally, just drained you at some point.
No, you hit it on that. It's I think a lot of it is just breaking up your day. So for me, first thing I do in the morning is I get my kids ready for school and get their lunches packed and get them out the door. After that, I immediately work in my recruiting business, typically 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, yes, does my phone ring with certain things, a contractor or it could be a text message. It could be my cash loader, my ATM business saying a machine is broken. Mm-hmm. But again, it can all be handled. We get back to technology. I mean, a basic email, deploying a service tech to an ATM just virtually, just through an app. So a lot of that gets done during the regular business day. I like to take time after I pick the kids up from school. Every day I like to go to the gym for an hour.
Okay.
So that is my time during after work hours to be at the gym and come home and, you know, have a good meal. And after that, I mean, I'm able to run a lot of this through my phone.
Right.
Like while I'm on the couch, maybe watching a game, I'm answering emails or, you know, I don't want to say I'm always on, but I mean, I think a lot of people nowadays kind of are always connected. But I kind of like it. I like the action. I like it. I mean, I was not happy just sitting there, you know, oh, what do I do tonight? I think I'm the type of person in my personality, I've always got to be doing something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just who I am.
Yeah.
But I think breaking up the day is a key in setting goals, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, having a certain amount of what you need to accomplish daily, weekly, monthly, annually. And that's worked for me, and I think focusing on growth as well helps. Like always being in expansion mode, and by having those goals, I mean, you'd be amazed what you can accomplish if you set, I'm gonna land one more, I'm gonna get a two or three more candidates on the phone today, you know, or I'm gonna land one ATM location a month.
Mm.
You know, realistic goals that at the end of the year, wow, you just grew your portfolio. and I know it sounds simple, but I think in a way it is.
Yeah. You are diversified across multiple things. We've said that multiple times. There are going to be some people who are listening going, Good. You found your thing. How do I find mine? How do I find my side hustle?
That's a great question. That is a very, very good question. And I think it has to do with taking action.
Okay.
As a person.
Yeah.
Me personally, I got into, you know, you're probably asked, well, how did you meet all these people that you invest in these syndications with? About 8 years ago, I joined a group, a real estate investment meetup out in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that was my first exposure to the world of real estate investing and really meeting with people who actually do it.
Yeah.
Like, they're real investors.
Yeah.
These people are the real deal. There's people there that own 100 buildings. There's people there that own one and everything in between, right? So I think that is a very good question. And the way to take action is to really start meeting with, identify an industry or maybe a niche, something that you're interested in. I've always been interested in real estate right after I paid my first rent payment in the city of Boston. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I need to be on the other side of this.
Right.
So definitely join meetups, network. It could be meeting people online. It could be, I prefer in person.
I think that's
a really good first step for anybody looking to, you know, expand and really get into what they're looking for.
Super cool. We're going to pause here. And when we come back, we're going to do rapid fire questions with Nate Herrick.
It's hard to believe, but tomorrow is our last day of theme week all about real estate investment. Our guest is Peter Neal. Super excited about this conversation. He is the VP of Investor Relations for GSP REI. We're going to talk about raising capital. We're going to talk about the four T's of investing. We're going to talk about seeing the red flags of investments that you have to make. Super fun conversation. And then next week on the show, our guest is Robin Dreek. He is a former head of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And he wrote a book about it called Sizing People Up, a Veteran FBI Agent's User Manual for Behavior Prediction. Super fun conversation. So make sure to check out tomorrow's episode and then join us next week for that show too. Now let's jump into rapid fire questions with Nate Herrick. We are back with Nate Herrick. Nate, all right, the time and show, the show where I ask some hard questions, our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, first question is, as a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Very unrealistic goal, basketball player.
Okay. What is one tip you'd give someone with a big idea or dream and they don't know where to start?
Just do it. Start it. Figure it out. Talk to the right people.
What is one change you would like to see in the world?
Financial education. Needs to be offered in schools.
Yeah. What do you want your legacy to be?
Great father. I would just say an educator. Somebody that was always trying to help people out and make people's lives better.
Where do you find inspiration?
I actually find inspiration on a lot of these podcasts. I like listening to a lot of people who are successful that have done it, that have high energy, and I don't know, that definitely inspires me.
What is one book you think every dreamer or entrepreneur should read?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Changed my life. It changed my thinking.
For you, how do you define success?
I think success is defined by a lot of, it's different for different people, but to me, success is having freedom to make your own decisions, to live life on your terms. That's what success is to me.
What is one trend you are currently excited about?
Podcasting.
I like that one. That's a good answer. I'm excited about it too. What is one habit you find helpful in your life?
Definitely exercise. I got back into running a little while ago, and it's really, my energy levels are through the roof. Exercise is definitely it.
What is one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
I would say that it would be to not limit your thinking.
Mm.
Think bigger.
If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'd probably be like a ski instructor somewhere.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Our final rapid fire question. What is one dream you're still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
I just think to take my businesses to the next level and ensure that, you know, I have plenty of time for my kids. Mm. That's really what I'm focused on right now.
As we wrap up the show, we always like to leave our guests to have a final thought. What is your final thought for all of us listening today?
I think everybody who's listening right now, whether you're successful, whether you're just starting out, it's about taking action. Things changed for me when I stopped just thinking about an accomplishment or something I wanted to achieve and actually got out there and started doing it. It could be meeting with, it could be networking. It could be meeting with your banker. It could be meeting with a podcast, anything like this. Getting out there and having that high level of activity is my advice I would give for sure.
Nate, it's been a lot of fun having you on today and joining us here at PodMax. We wish you the best in everything you do.
Thank you so much.
Once again, we want to thank Nate Herrick for taking time out to be on the show with us. You can check out all of his links in the episode notes. We also want to thank our friends over at PodMax for hosting this conversation. If you want to be a part of it, if you want to tell your story, or if you want to be a podcaster, check them out at podmax.co. Now, here's the deal. We all have choices that we can make. Nate shared how his choices throughout life led him to the career he's at today, and all of us end up somewhere. But my question for you is this. Will you be like Nate and make intentional choices? Will you look at the possibilities and the options and begin to make decisions that are purposeful and meaning, or will you sit back and just let life happen to you? I hope that you choose to create the path that's right for you, that you choose to take the steps to create the world you want to live in, to create the lifestyle that you want, and to see those dreams and ideas become a reality. So now you've got to do it. You've got to get out there. You've got to dream. You've got to invest in the ideas that you have, to explore the possibilities. So get out there, dream big, and change the world around you.
En avant, en arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant dans quelques mois lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps. Vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.